Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee here in Houston after the Thunder's 116-112 loss to the Rockets. I have on the phone with me Joe Masato, who is joining us from Oklahoma City. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Technically from Norman, huh?
From Norman. It's close enough. It's more simple to say Oklahoma City, you know?
Yeah. It's like, oh, cool, great. The two teams. We've got the two cities represented instead of like, we've got one of the cities and the city adjacent.
still living in the land of my former occupation, I guess.
we'll get you to Oklahoma City soon enough.
So yeah,
it's enough. It's a little nicer of a drive during rush hour.
Exactly. For sure.
Well, Joe, you did not get to... Let me just rub it in. You didn't get to cover Russell Westbrook.
Thanks a lot, Maddie. Appreciate it.
you missed all of the years, all of the 11 years of him in Oklahoma City. And you get the new era. You're starting in at the bottom. I just got the tail end of the Westbrook era when I started last season. You would have done an admirable job here, but I'm glad that I got to say hello and things. This was my first NBA reunion, if that makes sense. Like, I've seen plenty of other people do it where it's like, oh, you used to play for the Thunder, or I used to cover this other team. But this was my first of several that will happen this season of reuniting with players that I had covered in the NBA, and it was a eventful one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, just I think hopefully people can go back and read your story from after the game, but I'm just interested to hear what was it like. I mean, take us sort of through that reunion, and you led with the scene from the locker room. Just what was it like talking to Russell and seeing him in a new locker room?
Yeah, so the scene that I led with was we're all standing outside. This is not the scene. I'll get to it. But we're all standing outside the Rockets locker room, and I think none of us really knew what to expect, because Russ is a guy who very much throughout his time in Oklahoma City, his pregame ritual was very specific, and he would not talk to anyone. He wouldn't look, like, even his teammates didn't bug him, because he'd sit in he'd do his warm-up stuff, he's come back, he'd sit in the locker room with his headphones in and kind of sing to himself. And so I wasn't even sure if we were going to be able to wave or what. And we walk in, and immediately Russell sees Nick Gallo, who's the Thunder sideline reporter. And last year he did some reporter sideline duties, but Leslie McCaslin was the main sideline reporter. And Nick has been doing the Thunder website stuff. He's the in-house writer for them too. And was doing that last year as well, and has, you know, gotten to know Russ and covered him for many years. And so we step in, and Russ sees Gallo and immediately stands up and greets him, and he's got his feet in the usual bucket pregame. And so they talk and chop it up, and we all kind of just like take turns saying hello. And granted, he's not a overwhelmingly fond of all of us, but I did get to chat with him a little bit. It was nice catching up. And I said I was like, I'm sorry, I just like I didn't know if I would be disturbed. Like, I didn't want to disturb your pregame thing. He's like, no, you're fine. So it was a really nice beginning to the night. And then then throughout the night, I'm sure Thunder fans are having this same reaction, and just NBA fans, because we've seen Russell with the same team for 11 years. And so, like, the Rockets were just a few games in, And so we had just barely gotten to like start getting used to seeing him in red. And then he's going up against his old team. And that's just like a smack in the face. So it was weird. And obviously, you know, he's an incredible player. He's an 11-year vet. He has, you know, he's in his 12th year now. And he has a lot of the same tendencies carrying over and the same, obviously, skill sets carrying over. And it's fascinating to see that woven in with the Rockets, who it was almost like the team they did play Russ and James Harden on the floor at the same time. Sometimes they closed with them, they opened with them, and they had some in the middle. But when it was just one of them on the floor, the whole team kind of just took on their personality and their style of play, and it was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like, especially when he wasn't on the floor with Harden, it just looked like classic Russ. I mean, it was like the same style of play. I thought it would have been pretty cool if he would have gotten a triple-double, but he came up one assist short.
It was so close.
Yeah, 21-12-9, one assist away. And the Thunder is seriously the only NBA franchise he does not have a triple-double against, but it'll probably come sometime soon.
Well, there was a weird moment, or like a weird throwback. You know, I'm talking about how weird this whole thing was, but I didn't get to fit this in my story, but during one of the timeouts, they did like a video congratulating him on breaking the tie with Magic, and so now he's number two all time, and the sole owner of that number two. And so they did a thing where they played video from his first triple double, and so you see like young Russ in the Thunder uniform.
Wow.
and then immediately after played clips from his 300 whatever I should. Yeah, I can find that out.
It's a big number. It's okay.
The one that gave him sole ownership, the one that he got in the last game,
right.
And it was weird too, because we're already having the whiplash of seeing him in red, and then it's like, oh my gosh, now you're gonna go back and show us his early days. Like, this is wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that's cool. I didn't realize they had done that, so that's kind of, you know, cool to hear that they weren't sort of shying away from his Thunder past. And there was a few instances on the court I thought were really funny, like him and Darius Baisley getting into it a little bit. Obviously hadn't played together in Oklahoma City, and then I think you referenced it in your story, but just the weirdness of him and Steven Adams fighting for a rebound. There was just all these new scenes that we have that haven't ever happened, because he was going against the Thunder finally for the first time.
Okay, I have those numbers now, so I'm not just throwing out random things. Russell has 139 now, beating the tie with Magic at 138, and Oscar Robertson has 181 for the most triple-doubles.
Yeah, I think he'll, what'd you say, 139?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I think he's well on his way. I know we'll get to the game at some point, but just staying with Westbrook, what was it, you know, you tweeted out a couple of videos that I thought were rather hilarious. What was he like after the game?
He was good. Someone referenced his usual quote of, when I'm on the floor, I don't have any friends besides my teammates and Spalding.
And Spalding, I love it.
and Russ, so they're asking like, but is there a difference when you're out there with Steven Adams, who you've played with for so many years? And he was like, you know, I think we probably could have guessed this, but he was like, no, that doesn't change. And so he went on the whole thing about like, I will talk, you can be my friend before the game, you can be my friend after the game. It doesn't mean that I don't have friends, but when we're being in between the lines, I don't have friends. Don't try to talk to me. I will not talk to you. We're not friends. Which, you know, we've gotten to know. And I didn't think that he'd break during the game, but I was interested to see what he'd do pregame and postgame, because we'd even, like, he'd have teammates talking about how they were nervous to say hello to opponents before the game because they didn't know how he'd react. And so he went a long line and said hello to a bunch of people. He gave a hug to Wilson, who does not do for the Thunder. He's just kind of always around picking up the pieces behind the scenes. He said hello to Billy Donovan, several others, and then stepped on the court and played like he always plays.
Yeah. I mean, it, like we said, it was, you know, just classic Russ. And him and James Harden, I mean, the two guys you would expect. Harden had 40, didn't shoot the ball particularly well, especially from three. He just has not shot the ball well from three today, but made 21 free throws, and that was the difference. So where do you kind of want to start in the game?
Well, first off, just when you mentioned those two, they're going to be good. Like, I know we've talked a lot, and I mean, we'll see how it shakes out during the season, but so far the signs are pointing to very promising. And before the game, D'Antoni was talking about how, you know, James Harden has had a slow start, and that's usual for him. And then he kind of laughed about, like, you know, a slow start still means that he's scoring like 29 points. It's still really good. It just isn't, you know, his high level. So he said he'll get there soon. And Russ has been really, I forget the exact words that he used, but basically Russ has been really good. And now we just need to get James and the rest of the team on board with him. And yeah, I think so far, obviously, staggering minutes, which has been really fascinating. And then when they're on the floor together, they both bring a very different dynamic depending on who has the ball in their hands. And I think they could be dangerous. Obviously, if you're the Rockets, you don't want to fall behind to the Thunder, who is, you know, headed towards a rebuild. And they trailed by as many as, what, like 15 points?
Yeah, that's right.
So that was not promising at all. But then you saw them in the third quarter turn it on, and that's basically what the game was. Is third quarter, Thunder, the Rockets surged ahead. They outscored the Thunder 39-18. And credit to the Thunder, they really tried to pull it back in the end, but fell just short.
Yeah, the third quarter stood out to me most. That's what I led the takeaways with. And, you know, the Thunder took a 10-point lead, 62-52 going into halftime. They were playing good defense. The offense was there. Harden seemed frustrated. I thought, you know, whether it was Ferguson, SGA, Diallo, I thought they all did a good job on either Westbrook or Harden. And then that third quarter, the offense was just stagnant. Oklahoma City had two shot clock violations in the third quarter. They had two technical fouls.
Yeah,
first Chris Paul drawing with an official, and then Hamidou Diallo, I think it was a frustration after he had missed that dunk, and then PJ Tucker made him pay with a three. So they just sort of unraveled there in the third, tried to get it back together in the fourth. Played really good defense in the fourth. Most of Houston's points were from the free throw line at the end, but just that third quarter I thought was the difference.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you talked about James Harden. He had that's the wrong box score. I'm doing really good here. I have all these papers spread out on the desk at the Spring Hill Suites here. He had like 15 points or something in the first quarter or first half. We'll find it exactly. Yeah, 15 points in the first half. And then in the third quarter alone, scores 12. So
right.
You had him turning it on. You had Russ still doing a great job. I mean, he had 4 assists in that quarter. You know, doing what we're used to him seeing him doing. Those
yeah.
Passing ahead.
PJ Tucker got going from 3 as well.
Exactly. Like driving to the basket, kicking out. Not a good sign for an opponent when both James Harden is scoring and PJ Tucker is draining threes.
Right. There were some interesting subplots, I guess, in what the Thunder did well. I thought defense was one of them. They came into the game. I didn't realize they were this good. I know it's a small sample size, but opponents had only shot like 22% from 3 against them. That carried over today. And then the bench points, I think you tweeted out that note and like how it was one of the best in Thunder history. Is that right? One of the biggest differentials?
Yeah, so Thunder bench outscored the Rockets bench 52 to 14. And so in all of Thunder history, that's number 4 in terms of bench margins between benches, right? And it's the most since April of 2017. So that was huge. And you saw that really come into play in the second quarter, especially with Dennis Schroeder, who has been fantastic in the last 2 games, and both defensively and offensively. I feel like the most biggest compliment someone can give you, like in writer's terms, the biggest compliment another writer could give me is like, oh, I hate that you wrote that story. It was so good. I wish I had thought of that. You know, like that's the biggest compliment.
Right.
And so the athlete equivalent is after the game, Chris Paul said, I love Dennis Schroeder. I hated playing Dennis because he's one of the few guards who still picks you up half court. And it's
right.
And so he's been great on defense, frustrating people with that. On offense, he went off in that first half, especially that second quarter, and he finishes the half with 18 points, the most of anyone at halftime, and really just was in control. Like he was absolutely in control of the offense, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked like the Thunder's best player tonight. He had 22, and that's the day after he had 22 against the Warriors, 4 of 8 from 3, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and he had he filled up the stat sheet against the Warriors too in assists and rebounds. And I think one with Schroeder, you know, we kind of joked about it with Barry on the last podcast that, you know, it's like Billy Donovan calling Dennis Schroeder a great defender was a little laughable. But then you've got Chris Paul saying today that he dated going up against Schroeder, and like maybe his defense is coming around. His offense is always going to be there. I mean, that's what he's known for. He can put up a lot of points, but you know, and this is something we're going to be following all season. He's a definite trade candidate. And if he keeps playing like this, it's good for him and probably good for the Thunder and what they might be able to get for him if he is indeed on the block.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he can start in a lot of places. He did start in Atlanta before he got traded, and you know, obviously there was a regime change in there, and they were going another way with a guy familiar to your old beat. But he has been to be honest, first couple games, not that impressive. And then he just turned it on. And for the last 2, he's been just about as good on both ends of the floor at the same time as he has in his whole time with the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the spark plug off the bench. I think that bench stat, outscoring the Rockets so bad, I think that's unbelievable, really, given that we've said that, you know, the Thunder has a solid starting lineup, but they don't have a very good bench. And then you've got Schroeder doing this. Nerlens Noel was fantastic tonight. He got all the backup center minutes and was in the closing lineup when Steven Adams wasn't out there. Because of something maybe you can update us on, but no minutes for Mike Muscala tonight, which I thought was a little interesting. So Schroeder and Nerlens Noel really have a good two-man game.
Yeah, they really do. And we saw it develop throughout last year, and when they're clicking, they're really clicking. So Steven Adams, left knee contusion. Billy Donovan made it sound like he was dealing with it for a while, and Billy noticed that he was limping, and finally in that fourth quarter, and we saw him go back into the tunnel a few times, but you never know with him, because he'll do that. He'll sometimes go back into the tunnel and ride the bike and come out, and like nothing's wrong with him. Tonight that wasn't the case, and at one point he went back and was clearly being checked out by their tunnel is like right by where we sit, and so we're all like craning our necks and like trying to see if he's still there and this, that, and the other. So he's getting checked out by trainers, eventually disappeared, and he did not come back into the game. We talked to him about it, and as usual he was not very forthcoming. He said, you know, oh, it's fine. I asked like when it started. He said it's just a bruise, which is true. That's what a contusion is. But like, I asked him like when he got it. He was like, oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't have much clarity on that. But it is, the Thunder called it a left knee contusion, and we'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
I just wonder when it happened, if that's been a thing he's been dealing with in these first four games, or if it has any effect on how he's playing. Because tonight it was a really rough, another rough offensive performance from Steven Adams. He was 2 of 7. He doesn't seem to have much lift out there. He seems to be getting blocked at the rim much more than I remember. That would be sort of interesting to follow, because of all the guys we've talked about who have surprised, like, you know, Shea and Schroeder and tonight Nerlens Noel, like, we haven't, you know, Steven Adams hasn't done much to the Thunder's first four games.
No, and he really dropped off after preseason. He looked so good in preseason and then has been pretty ineffective. I mean, that might be a little harsh, but yeah, not good.
He's getting rebounds. I think he's defending, but he's just, I thought he was going to be one of the, you know, primary factors in this offense, and not much is going through him at this point.
After the first few minutes, I thought this was going to be his comeback game, because the first two baskets are through him, and I was like, okay, they're getting him involved early, this, that, and the other, and then he scored, what, 2 more points? Baskets of points.
Yeah, he's not scored more than 8 points in a game in the first four games.
Yeah, he finishes the game with 6 points.
Yeah, and it was another night where they did not get... I thought Ferguson, again, was really good defensively, but he sort of reverted back. This was another... night 0 of 1 field goal attempts. Yeah. Maybe it's a matchup thing and it's something we'll catch on to, but it seems like he is, you know, was really good against Golden State, active cutting, active, you know, on kickouts and taking threes. And tonight it's like, oh, Terrence Ferguson played good defense, but where was he on offense?
Right. Yeah. No, he's had one good offensive game and been pretty much invisible sense. Chris Paul had a nice little tribute video for him. It featured a lot of him and Harden, and he had his little shimmy at Curry, and it was nice. The the fans, they gave him a little ovation. It was a little, the attendance was a little spotty. You can tell that they're, that the Astros are in the World Series.
Yeah, and, I was wondering, like, what was that all about? Monday. I guess that.
I think the combination of Monday evening and it's baseball season.
And like Houston traffic, maybe.
People were like, eh, nah. So
we're not even giving him that excuse. It's just because the Astros are in the World Series, and that's a completely fair excuse.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. But yeah, so it was pretty spotty to start the game, filled out a little bit, but they gave him a nice little ovation when he was announced, but then the real ovation happened when they played the tribute video during the first time out, and it was really nice. And of course, after the game, he said that it was great and the fans have always treated him and his family well and all those things. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just it would have been a different thing, I think, if he wasn't like not involved in the Westbrook deal. Like if he would have come to the Thunder separately, like it would have been a bigger deal. But I think we knew this whole thing was going to be more overshadowed by Westbrook's side of things rather than Chris Paul's. And I mean, one was a team for 11 years and the other was there for 2 years, so that also plays a huge factor.
Yeah, and Chris Paul's career is not going to be defined for his 2 years in Houston, although they did really well. He had injuries, he wasn't an all, those were like two of his non-all-star years when he has a whole bunch right in the middle of his career. So I mean, amazing player, Hall of Fame player, but not a player whose Houston years are going to define him. Whereas Russell, when you play 11 years anywhere, that's, if you're getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, that's who you're getting inducted as.
Yeah, and Chris Paul, I mean, he wasn't trying to make it a big deal, like, everything he was asked to, like, I thought it was funny the other night when he said, you know, he's just worried about, like, selling his house or, you know, yeah, what he said on that. It's like, this isn't emotional.
Yeah, but he brushed it off again tonight. It was like, it's a game. You know, like, said, like, all the right things about being grateful and stuff, but then someone asked him specifically about the emotion. He's like, I don't know, it's a game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad this happened at the beginning of the season. I'm really looking forward to Westbrook's return to Oklahoma City because that's going to add a whole new component, I think.
Yeah, and
to the emotions.
He and D'Antoni before this game said, like, well, it's not the same as him coming to Oklahoma City, because I mean, you look at, I think, yeah, Barry mentioned this, you look at the number of guys that he's played with, and most of the ones that he has played with, it's only been for a year, and then you have Steven Adams and Andre Roberson, who, you know, again didn't play. So those are the guys who he actually played with for a substantial amount of time,
more than one season.
And let's see, there, Terrence, he got two seasons with, and
right,
but because there's been so much movement, you know, Billy coached him for 4 years, but Mo Cheeks, he had a nice moment with Mo Cheeks where they like kind of walked across the court together with Russell's arm around him after the game, and he, you know, went down to the bench to talk to him. But yeah, player wise, running pretty thin. So yes, I'm sure it was weird playing against the team and the franchise that you have so much connection to, but coming back to a place that was home for so long. And he had said, you know, he said in LA last year, like, he said that he became essentially like grew into a man when he was in Oklahoma City, because he got there as a teenager. You know, there's a lot that happened when he was living in Oklahoma City, and his family grew in Oklahoma City, and his kids started growing up in Oklahoma City. And yeah, I think there's there's that extra element of place. So we'll certainly have more Westbrook talk when we get to that game.
Yeah, I mean, and just the fan component of that, the, you know, arena workers that he passes by every day. So that'll be fun to anticipate later on in the season.
Yeah, there's still workers there from his first year.
Yeah, it'll be the stories that they'll be able to tell, and hopefully we'll be able to relay some of those to you guys.
That's the dream.
Telling good stories. That's what we try to do.
All right, should we wrap this thing up?
I think we're ready for it.
Great. Well, Thunder comes home next, playing Portland on Wednesday.
That's right.
Steve McGee pointed out to me today that of their first five opponents, four of them have knocked the Thunder out of the playoffs in recent years. So shouts out to Steve McGee.
That's a good note.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So they'll face the latest one on Wednesday. And we will podcast again then. Thanks everybody for listening tonight. Please like it, love it, share it with your friends, your enemies, which is now just part of the outro. Your dogs, your cats, your what other pets? Snails, fish.
Nice.
We're already on the same page here.
That's right.
Your neighbors, your grandparents, anyone who can hear. And we will see you on Wednesday.